Welcome back. Remember, if you bought a house anywhere but Santa Barbara, you didn't pay enough. Today's guest is, well, maybe we'll call him a civil rights attorney. We'll see if he likes that label. He has a firm that online claim to be federal civil rights attorneys, handle civil cases, habeas corpus, I've always wanted to say that on the air, and criminal law matters. They claim to protect the rights of those abused by police brutality, excessive force, unlawful searches, seizures, and people in prisons. I don't know if you've been watching Orange is the New Black, but we got people in prisons there. He's in the news locally in Santa Barbara because of a September 13th, 2021 legal brief he filed in federal court against the city and county of Santa Barbara. And this week, there's some upcoming news he can update us with. Welcome to Radio Real Estate, Stephen Yagman.
Hi.
I kind of paralyzed there when I got to your last name, and I did pronounce it correctly.
Whatever you say.
There was no argument there. Okay. So, first of all, we had a pre-interview phone call. You were very kind to call in, and I will get into the first question is going to be about your lawsuit, what it is, and why you filed it. But we did talk about Perry Mason, and you are a big fan, as am I. And did you also follow the original Law and Order?
Of course.
Did you remember that episode where a man off his medication, a schizophrenic, killed people with a sword?
Yeah, I do, actually. I think that was one of the old ones that Jerry Orbach was in.
Yes. And then the next scene, this wild-looking, bearded, disheveled homeless man who killed several people with a sword is in court in a three-piece suit, shaved, haircut. He's an attorney. He's back on his meds. So we'll have to come back to that story because we're going to be talking about homeless people and, sadly, many street people are there due to mental illness. So tell me.
Thanks to Ronald Reagan.
Well, that's a good point.
He emptied out all the mental hospitals in America during his first year in office, right after he was shot on March 30th, 1981. He canceled the programs that Jimmy Carter had set up to give funding to mental hospitals. That's how the homeless crisis began in the United States with Ronald Reagan.
I remember reading that, and I remember reading that he wanted to, his goal was to put it to local municipalities to absorb these people, take care of these people. Why did that never happen?
Exactly, and how has that worked out?
Well, it hasn't. Do you know why it didn't happen, or
believe? It didn't happen because the federal funding was withdrawn, and local governments like counties and cities simply didn't have the financial wherewithal to deal with an enormous problem. I mean, Reagan was a horrible person. He was a dope, but he was a great actor. He acted like he was president, and people bought that.
Well, you know,
I mean, if you want to see the real Ronald Reagan, you need to watch a movie that he stars in called The Killers with him and Lee Marvin and Clu Gulager, and that's the real Ronald Reagan. And when he was running the first time for president in 1980, all of the networks agreed not to show that movie on the false premise that it would help his campaign. It would have killed his campaign because he played himself a heartless thug.
Well, thank you for sharing. I respectfully don't agree with your analysis, but I do agree with what you're saying back in the 80s with the mental institutions. But if it's that simple and that linear, why hasn't it been fixed?
Because politicians are involved.
And that's it?
I think that's it. It's certainly it here in the city and county of Los Angeles. I'm not as familiar with Santa Barbara as I am with Los Angeles. I know that's the case in L.A. I don't know much more about Santa Barbara than that Brophy's Brothers has great beer batter shrimp.
Brophy Brothers.
Yeah.
Brophy Brothers.
On the wharf. Every time I come up to Santa Barbara, I always have lunch there and have some beer batter shrimp. Great place.
Highest grossing.
Great view, great food, great service.
Highest grossing restaurant per square foot in all of California because it's so small and it's always busy. My guest is attorney Stephen Yeagman. But it seems like attorneys such as yourself, I brought up the could somehow have since, you know, it's been 40 years since Reagan closed the institutions. Is it true today? And the reason why I brought up that Law and Order episode is this man refused to take his medication. Is it true that someone like that cannot be forced to take medication?
It's true and it isn't true. It depends on the circumstances. It's very fact specific, and it's a very, very complicated subject in which I have no expertise.
I brought it up because a friend of mine was a nurse, and it happened. And where someone was off his meds and he bludgeoned two doctors to death with a hammer. And it seems like there's these poor people that are mentally ill that are out on the street. And I always half joke that street people give homeless people a bad name. There's so many homeless people that had
a
home.
It goes both ways. Some people are on the streets because they're off their meds, and some people are on the streets because they need meds. It's hard to say. I mean, we had a president for 4 years who was off his meds and who should have been forced to take some. But apparently you can't force people to take meds.
Well, I'm glad you're holding back all your political...
Oh, you don't know the half of it. I really am.
You know, when I asked you and invited you to come on the radio for an interview, what was the first thing you said to me under only one condition, you said?
That it be live.
Why did you say that?
Because I've noticed a tendency in the media to edit things in ways that are inappropriate. And I would never subject myself to that, nor should anybody. People should be heard in context and in full. That's why.
So you'll never accept an invitation from 60 Minutes?
You know, I did back in the 80s. I did it twice. And that happened, and that's one of the things that taught me that lesson.
You know, I wanted to jump somewhere else because we started talking, but I wanted you to, maybe I should have you first tell us what the lawsuit is, who it's filed against, and what is it?
It's against the politicians who run the city of Santa Barbara government, and the politicians who run the county government. I believe there are 5 supervisors and 7 city council members. And it's against them because they are the ones who are charged with setting the policies that affect and govern homeless people. And they're not doing it as well as they could be doing it.
And do you think, did you single them out because other people are doing it a lot better? Why Santa Barbara?
Oh, gosh, no. I don't know that anybody is doing it better. All of the politicians who deal with homelessness do it terribly. I did it because I was contacted by some people in Santa Barbara who were displeased with that and who felt victimized by the homelessness policies in the county and in the city. And that's why we did it.
You know, I mean, I fully support trying to give people a leg up and people down and out. And God, we have so much going on in Santa Barbara. There's so many different locations and shelters and assistance to women who are homeless or with children or battered women or setting them up with jobs. There's so much that the politicians in Santa Barbara are doing.
Oh,
so I'm not saying it's perfect.
The poor politicians. What's a mother to do, huh? That's not an excuse. Do your job or leave your job. You know, New York City, that gets a bad name from a lot of people for a lot of reasons, has about 60,000 homeless people, and they've gotten all of them, except for about 3,500, into shelters. So that's just nonsense that Santa Barbara can't deal with the problem. I believe there are about 867 homeless people in Santa Barbara County at last count. They can deal with that if they want to. Instead of dealing with it in a humane way, they just want to get the homeless people out of the sight of people, because most people, even bad people, feel badly when they see a homeless person in a wretched condition. It's something that none of us want to look at. So they want to get them out of sight. They want to get them out of public view, and in doing that, they harass them and they victimize them. It doesn't have to be that way. It really doesn't.
Well, you know, Stephen, I want to applaud the fact that you want to help people who you see as needing your help. But I think when I mention that we have so many programs and are doing so much, you kind of immediately dismissed it. I mean, we are doing a lot. And as you acknowledged, everybody is, in your mind, falling short of it being perfect. And to comment on New York City, not to sound like a smartass, but the reason why New York City has enough beds for everyone is they all left to come to California and Santa Barbara.
Is that so? I didn't know that.
Do you think, I'm just being a little bit of a smartass, but if you were going to be homeless, wouldn't you come to Santa Barbara, live on the coast in California? We have so many people who are homeless elsewhere, and then suddenly it's our responsibility.
I that's a hypothetical. I leave hypothetical questions to experts who know how to answer them. I have no idea how to answer that.
Okay. I'd like to read something from a Santa Barbara architect, and I'd like you to comment on what his feelings are. I had him read an article that described your lawsuit. And he said, it's true, this is a giant problem, but it needs to be funded at a federal level, like interstate freeways, or shelters will be unevenly distributed if one jurisdiction...
He's completely correct. Of course it needs to be funded at a federal level. But that was ended, and it's never going to happen again. Nobody wants to get involved in that problem. The feds, even the Democrats, are happy to wash their hands of that. They're happy to play Pontius Pilate.
Well, we got this thing going on in Congress with this multi-trillion-dollar bill, and is there any money in there for homeless and institutions and handicapped people?
No, there isn't, and that's because Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema have cocked that all up.
So you filed in a federal court, but you're filing against who could you sue in the federal government?
No one.
So your only option is to sue what you're doing?
That's correct.
Okay, so you agreed with what he said, and then he went on, and he says, optically, this looks worse in Santa Barbara. However, he thinks that you're a little bit off on your analysis. He says, this is to echo what you just brought up about it not looking nice. The architect thinks it's not a beautification and looking nice, quote, issue. It's a sanitation issue for starters. But if sanitation is solved, we'll all buy a Sprinter, park on the street as young people can't find homes they can afford. Therefore, housing on public streets doesn't work. What do you think of that?
It's all true. And it's up to the government and the politicians in Santa Barbara to fix that problem. It's their problem.
But isn't part of your complaint, or is it going to be part of your complaint, that you want RVs to be able to park on public streets?
Of course RVs should be able to park on public streets. There's no reason they shouldn't, unless a street is so narrow that it's inappropriate to put an RV there.
But where do you draw the line? As he said, everyone buys a Sprinter, young people. What happens to our public streets? If you are successful and this happens, what happens to everybody, all the tenants and the homeowners who are living? How are they impacted?
There aren't that many RVs. You know, there was an old cartoon years ago, I think in Playboy magazine, that somebody showed me. And there's a man in the middle of a desert where you could see nothing but the sand. And he's on his hands and knees with a bucket of paint, and he's drawing a line. and the caption for the cartoon said, "Got to draw a line somewhere." You know, of course you do. Of course you do, but it's up to the people in the government to draw that line in a reasonable and respectful and humane way. There really aren't that many homeless people comparatively or relatively in Santa Barbara, and it shouldn't be that difficult to deal with. It's a much more difficult problem in the city of Los Angeles, and they don't know what to do, and they've got the money. They actually got federal funds of about $2 billion to deal with homelessness, and they've had the money for 2 years, and they can't agree on how to spend it. The two sides are, one side wants to build temporary housing to immediately alleviate the problem of homelessness. The other side wants to build permanent housing, and they can't agree. So you know what? They don't do either. They're just incompetent idiots.
My guest is civil rights attorney Stephen Yagman. I'm glad you're throwing the Democrats under the bus. You did a good job with the Republicans.
Well, they're all politicians. They're all full of
Well, that's not out of my mouth. So with Santa Barbara, let's see if I finished what he said. He finished with, everyone should have a place to sleep, eat, and have a restroom. Without these simple accommodations, no housing becomes a sanitation problem, which it is. But he doesn't think that housing on public streets should work. Right now, there are churches that have parking lots that allow RVs to park. I think someone told me out at the Target parking lot near Camino Real, Costco, it looks like an RV park. They're parking in this parking lot. So it seems like there's places to park. Why focus? Are you representing one person who has an RV? Who are you representing?
Well, it's what's called a putative class action, which means that you select one person who has characteristics that are the same as other people, and that person acts as a class representative. But our suit is expanding on Wednesday when we file an amended complaint, and we also will be representing homeless people who are living in the streets and who don't have RVs.
And how did you say that word again? Putative?
Putative, P-U-T-A-T-I-V-E. It's kind of a legal term of art, although it's also used by ordinary humans sometimes. And that's what you call a class action in which you've said you want it to be a class action. And until you make a motion to the court and the court certifies it as a class action, it's in a stage, it's like larvae. It's in a stage of being a putative class action. So we haven't moved yet for class certification, but we will fairly shortly.
One of the controversial things that you said, or you were quoted as saying, and you could tell me if it's true or not, was talking about eugenics, negative eugenics. And this was theories with Hitler exterminating the Jews.
No, actually, it began in California, Northern California. Hitler copied it from California. It didn't begin with Hitler.
Okay.
And actually wasn't Hitler who copied it. It was, what's his name, Goebbels.
Okay. But the person who wrote this piece locally described as a bleeding heart liberal and is, you know, supports homeless benefits and helping. But he wrote this article, and I don't know why he seemed to have a bone to pick with you, but he brought this up, negative eugenics. Is something that you're accusing politicians of Santa Barbara of using?
And Los Angeles.
So that's a pretty strong allegation. You don't think
it's factual.
It's eugenics, not over the top?
Negative eugenics is the use of government policy or cultural policy to disadvantage people who are already disadvantaged, to put them into a group like Hitler did to the Jews and the Romani in Europe. And it's used all over the United States, but people just don't know it by that name because it's kind of a dated name, but it's the best descriptor for what's happening, and it's being used negatively against poor people.
My guest, Stephen Yagman, civil rights attorney out of Los Angeles. Stephen, can we take a commercial break, come back and kind of wrap up with what you hope to come out of this lawsuit and what you anticipate?
What would happen if I said no? You'd still go to the commercial break.
I'd still go to a break, but I'd wish you a nice week.
Then I'll say no then.
Okay, but I want to play something for you. Now, you told me that you own the complete collection, but I have a couple of questions, and I'm wondering if you can answer. Do you
sure.
Written by Errol Stanley Garner, attorney, do you know where he went to law school?
No, but I know he practiced law in Ventura County.
He did. It was a trick question. He didn't go to law school. Do you know what actor tried to get the role of Perry Mason? A couple of actors?
Maybe Charles Naughton.
He would be good. Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. would have been good, and Fred McMurray. And then I saw a YouTube video of William Hopper, who played Drake, doing a scene with Lieutenant Tragg, Ray Collins, where William Hopper was trying out for Perry Mason. And in fact, Raymond Burr tried out for Hamilton Berger's spot as the DA.
I love that name because it's shortened to Hamburger.
And well, he pretty much, Mason... made mincemeat of him. Okay, so we're saying goodbye?
What?
Are we saying goodbye, or are you going to hold over to tell me what's going to happen with the lawsuit?
Oh, I didn't say I wouldn't hold over. You just asked me if you could go to a commercial, and I said no.
Oh. Well, you know what? I don't deal with politicians. I deal with sponsors. You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, radiorealestate.com. We'll take a quick break, come back with civil rights attorney Stephen Yagman.